All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, or the times they are rich.
Yuck. Already? You're not even going to let us get into the show first?
I can't wait till...
You're going to just drip your venom all over the opening of the show?
So here's what I'm surprised about right at the opening.
Okay.
No one has posted that particular news story on our Facebook and said idiots.
And labeled it idiots?
I can't believe whoever that wonderful poster is has not done that.
Well, yet. I think someone's slipping. Whoever you are, anonymous, you're slipping.
Well, someone did post the entirety of the Ferris Bueller Honda commercial.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
I haven't watched that yet. Yes.
And they described it as icky, and I would concur entirely
that it's
with that.
Icky?
Icky. It gives you an icky feeling.
Like,
this shouldn't have happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not like a blech.
No,
like
it feels dirty. You feel dirty watching it. It's nostalgic.
You feel like your youth has been violated.
And the poster said it was nostalgic. You know, it was funny. I mean,
right.
it's all those things. But at the end of the day, you just feel icky inside. Like, oh, this is really kind of a really bad sort of sellout maneuver.
Like warm, linty gummy drops.
Yeah.
Gummy bears, icky.
Yeah, just icky.
All right.
Well, in any event, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 237, Who Watches DC?
That's right.
And the answer is apparently nobody.
Nobody.
Or Paul Levitz, or the same thing.
Or somebody who needs further
Levitz.
Watching.
It had to be Paul Levitz. Because Paul Levitz and Alan Moore don't get on, as they say, across the pond. And this is Paul Levitz's ultimate, I think this is the ultimate slap in the face to Alan Moore and anything that they've ever tried to do with Alan Moore regarding The Watchmen or regarding V for Vendetta. Or anything else that he's done for DC in the past, this is the ultimate slap in the face.
All right, you're getting just a little ahead of ourselves.
Sorry.
Let's do a quick, like, little bit of info and intros.
There's a lot of stuff.
And then we can go right into that.
Geek stuff, what's in the news?
There's your intro.
All right,
can I continue
fine.
Now?
Sure, you can continue.
So, what we're grousing about right out of the gate is that DC has announced that they will be doing a prequel to The Watchmen called Before Watchmen. And it's not really one. It's not like it would be one story that takes place before The Watchmen. It's a series of miniseries.
Yeah, I think somewhere in that news article, maybe towards the very end, they actually list the books that are there. It's like Rorschach, right? It's,
well, you know what? And we should say a couple of things. One, there's a lot of really high-priced talent.
Yes.
Attached to this project.
The art looks pretty.
Most of it. Some of it looks pretty. Let's talk about what they are. Rorschach is going to get 4 issues.
Right.
Brian Azzarello and Lee Berhamo.
Right.
Now, that's a really good combination. Didn't Brian Azzarello write that Joker book that Lee Berhamo did?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, in any event, whether he wrote it or not, Brian is a really good writer and Lee is a really exceptional artist. So I think that book will be nice and gritty and good. Minutemen, 6 issues, writer artist Darwin Cook. I cannot wait to read that. Now, listen, that said, of all of them, I think the Minutemen, you know, doing a little miniseries Minutemen kind of is the only one I'm even sort of comfortable with.
Okay.
When all said and done. Comedian, 6 issues, Brian Azzarello and artist J.G. Jones. Not a fan of J.G. because you know J.G. and the sketch story.
Yes, I do.
I'm not going to repeat that here at this time, but another time I will tell the J.G. Jones sketch story. And again, Brian Azzarello is a great writer. So, Dr. Manhattan, 4 issues, J. Michael Straczynski and artist Adam Hughes. Talk about conundrum for me.
Yeah, I mean,
Adam Hughes' art, fantastic.
Right.
J. Michael Straczynski's writing, although I'll be honest with you, the 12 from Marvel was pretty all right.
See?
But that said, by and large, the writing of J. Michael Straczynski, not a fan.
You're not a fan of it.
No. Ozymandias, 6 issues. Really? 6 issues for Ozymandias? I don't know. I don't agree with that. But only 4 for Rorschach? Doesn't make a lot of sense. Len Wein is the writer and artist Jay Lee. So they've put some boys with similarities on that book. Somehow that makes sense. Did I skip Night Owl? I did. And this is another conundrum for me. 4 issues of Night Owl, writer J. Michael Straczynski, artists Andy and Joe Kubert.
I know. And the art actually is pretty...
really nice.
It's nice.
Yep. Silk Spectre, 4 issues, writer Darwin Cook, artist Amanda Connor. So I'm completely in on that one.
Right.
Now, as much as I am going to rail against this project because I think it should not have happened, I think there was no earthly reason to do this.
That's right.
Like I said earlier, this is Paul Levitz, who's kind of the head of DC with Jim Lee, I guess, really slapping Alan Moore in the mouth.
Speaking, didn't Alan Moore have a...
Have
something to say about
that? They did reach Alan Moore for comment, but I want to wait. I want to let you know that as you're listening to this episode and us talk about this, you can see some of the images that they've put out promotionally. OG, you're adding these, correct?
Absolutely.
And of course they will be available over at bigkevsgeekstuff.com in the photo gallery for episode 237, Who Watches DC. So without further ado, yes, Alan Moore has responded. Both of them, really. Gibbons and Moore have both responded.
Right, I was going to say Gibbons gave a comment too.
Well, you know, Gibbons is kind of a middle of the road guy.
Right.
So he's kind of been, he's been like the voice on The Watchmen, and I think on V for Vendetta also, he was kind of, you know, sort of the voice when the movies were made. You know, his name was on it, Alan Moore wasn't. So I think Alan Moore's problem is Alan Moore wanted to raise the comic book art form to a serious to be accepted as serious literature.
Correct.
And arguably Watchmen is maybe the best example of that. So the problem is he feels that what they've now done is weakened that argument. And he says, as far as I know, there weren't many prequels or sequels to Moby Dick. And the point is really well made.
Absolutely.
It's a well-made point, because if you're trying to raise a medium to be accepted on a level, you know, like a Moby Dick, you can't take the popularity or the money that the thing makes and figure out a way to make more money off of it
right.
by doing prequels and sequels. And that's movie stuff.
Right.
You know?
And yeah, I mean, Watchmen really kind of paved the way, I think, in a lot of ways for that self-contained independent storyline.
Right.
And so this really is just, I haven't read online today. I haven't read one person who was like, yes, you know, yeah. everybody there, is
nobody.
Like, why, you know, but it's the problem is, here's the problem. This is like the Star Wars conundrum. Okay. And I'll tell you what I mean by that.
I'm waiting.
We all bitched, right, about aspects of the Star Wars universe that sure. came out.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about the changes. I'm talking about the new movies, right?
Yep.
But we all couldn't wait to see them.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. So this is the same thing. Everybody is bitching and no one thinks it's a good idea, but we're all going to run out and pick up at least some of them. So what happens is
right.
in DC's or any really company's twisted mind, they win.
No,
they make the money.
It's totally a win-win for DC because they're clearly going to make money on this, and that's fine. And I'm not begrudging DC making money. I'm begrudging what can only be described as a Joe Quesada type maneuver. You know
okay.
what I mean? I mean, something that really pays no respect to the book's past.
Right.
And I say that because Joe has done things like take away Wolverine's cigar, break up the marriage of Spider-Man and Mary Jane, all of those sorts of disrespectful things to the past of the book. And now, granted, the two examples that I gave are pretty extreme examples. But to do something like that to the Watchmen is almost, to me, is unconscionable. And if I saw Paul Levitz, I think I would tell him that. I think I would be like, look, I understand you're a businessman and you're trying to do business and all that, but this was just bullshit.
Yeah, this was not right.
This was fuck.
You should not have done this.
This was fuck you, Alan Moore. We can do whatever we want. We're DC. And that's fine. And he'll never work in DC again. And, you know, and that's fine. And all the things that are being said. And, you know, he said he's not going to sue DC over it because he would be faced with a battery of lawyers and or attorneys or whatever he said and blah, blah, blah. And it's a shame. It's just a shame, a shameful thing. And yes, I'm going to read each page, but still,
right, exactly.
I'm going to feel dirty about it. I'm going to feel like I'm going to feel really bad that this was done, but I'm going to read it.
But you're going to read it anyway. You're going to love it.
Know what else I'm going to read?
What?
The Shadow.
Oh.
From Dynamite Entertainment. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
Who knows what else Dynamite Entertainment
the
will dig
shadow
up?
Shadow knows.
I don't hate the Shadow.
Well,
I
least,
don't.
Look, it's going to be set in the 30s, right? So it's going to be the proper time period. And you got everybody working. I mean, Garth Ennis is writing this book, sir.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Garth Ennis is writing the book.
All right. Well, that adds an interesting. Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, OG must reconsider his.
Again. Out of all of the pulp characters that we kind of talk about on this show,
right,
the Shadow is the one that I kind of dislike the least.
Okay. Well, then you'll dislike this news, or no, you will, because it has to do with Green Hornet.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, the Shadow is going to be illustrated by Aaron Campbell, who did the 1930s action adventure Green Hornet Year One, which I actually thought was a really great book.
You did
book.
Actually like that book.
So, and he also did Sherlock Holmes Year One.
Oh,
and
did he do also, Moriarty Year One too? Was he? The
I don't think he
that
did
one?
That one, no. And I think he also did Dark Shadows.
Okay.
For Dynamite as well. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, it's a lot of good news. And of course, with Dynamite, we'll get several wonderful covers.
That's right.
For every issue, the first of which will be by Alex Ross.
Right, of course.
It's Alex Ross, John Cassaday, who's the other one? Howard Chaykin,
right.
And I believe the last one, I think, is Jay Lee.
Well, you have to have Howard Chaykin do a Shadow.
yeah.
cover. I mean, that kind of...
No, what you have to have is Chaykin doing the inside art.
Well,
but we're not going to get that.
Right,
so we have
no.
to take what we
so
can
So you got
to
take a cover.
Why didn't they give Sienkiewicz a cover? Sienkiewicz's DC Shadow series was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back in the 1,000 years
day.
Ago. Day. Yeah. So here's the thing. I've seen all the covers, and you may be seeing them if we're able to get them up.
Sure.
There's the four covers: Alex Ross, Howard Chaykin, John Cassaday, and Jay Lee. How does Jay Lee get into this group?
Jay Lee, hot up and coming. No, he's not even up and coming. Jay Lee's been around for about 1,000 years.
I know. And I didn't hate,
I like Jay Lee's art.
I
though.
Didn't hate his cover. I thought I was gonna not like it the least, but then it was a real tie.
You know what?
Between his and Cassaday's, which
from what I remember of Jay Lee's art, I don't remember a lot, and that's because of I'm not in books as much as I used to. But from what I remember of Jay Lee's art, I could actually see his art working with a character like the Shadow.
Okay.
Does that
yeah, sure.
make sense? You
makes
know what
sense.
I mean? All right. Can we move forward?
Sure.
Remember Neil Gaiman? Remember that guy?
You mean friend of this show, Neil Gaiman, who I saw not, 6 months ago? Yeah, I remember him.
Remember that other guy, McFarlane?
Is this news about that? Uh-oh. Wait, hold on. I want to brace myself. Okay, go.
Well, according to Neil Gaiman, via the Twitter,
who would not lie,
happy to have settled McFarlane image case 10 years after the trial. All's confidential, but here's the press report. And of course he links to the press report, which kind of says that Neil Gaiman and McFarlane have reached a settlement agreement. And we'll talk about the case in 1 second. I just want to read the announcement that calls for declaring Neil Gaiman a 50% owner of Spawn issues 9 and 26, the first three issues of a spin-off series on the Angels, and the issue's contents. And then, of course, you know, Neil has already said, I'm not keeping the money.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Giving it to charity.
All right, so, but it doesn't clear up any of the Miracle Man stuff.
It does not touch on the Miracle Man stuff. This is just
the Spawn issue.
Spawn, medieval Spawn, to be specific.
Right.
Angela and that other angel, not Tiffany, the other one.
Yeah.
And Cagliostro.
Right.
Just that.
Right.
Which, of course, really does tie into the Miracle Man lawsuit, but this, just the Spawn-related stuff has
right.
been settled now.
Well, that's wonderful for Neil.
That, you know what? I
thought this was going to be much more exciting.
No,
but
I'll tell you why it's exciting. Because I think that this is the start off to the resolution of the Miracle Man stuff.
Well, let's hope so.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
really a lot of this stuff was kind of like... I feel the Spawn stuff was kind of like
spite.
Spite. It was, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
now that it's over, maybe we can get to the real meat and potatoes
of
problem. What we want.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the Miracle Man stuff.
Just to recap, if you're a new listener or someone who hasn't heard us talk about this incessantly for 6 years, considered by many one of the best comic books ever written is a series called Miracle Man. And Neil Gaiman was the last writer on the series. It was Boing, bring up Alan Moore again. It was
right.
made popular by Alan Moore. It was made famous by Alan Moore in the 80s. It was a character from the, I can't remember, it was the 50s or the 60s British comic book character, which Alan revived in the 80s and made arguably one of the best comic books ever written
right.
series wise. And when he left, and this was with, I can't remember the company.
Eclipse.
Yeah. It was Eclipse Entertainment, which was eventually purchased by McFarlane.
Right.
Who thought that he purchased the rights to all the characters,
including
Miracle Man. But as it turns out, or what the lawsuit intends is that, he doesn't. Well, and what happened was Miracle Man showed up in Spawn comics.
Right.
And it was sort of a slap in the face to everything that had been done with the character before. A lot of slapping of Alan Moore going on, you know, lately.
Maybe he's into that.
Well, maybe he is.
He got the beard, though. Protects him.
Yeah. but I've heard things about the daughter. Anyway, the point is that the long and short of it is, Neil Gaiman comes forward and says, no, I own it because Alan Moore gave it to me in the 80s when Neil wrote the last several issues of Miracle Man before the series ended. Well, when the company ended, Neil still had two issues, I think, that were written and drawn.
I believe so, yes.
Because I believe he has the plates for them in his basement or something, he tells me all the time. So, or whenever I've spoken to him about it, I guess. And so there's stuff that's out there, and everyone wants to read this book, but you can't, because not only are the issues incredibly expensive, and one of them is like a fortune.
Right.
I can't remember if it's like 13 or something. One of them is extraordinarily rare and really expensive. And even the trades sell for hundreds of dollars, but they've never been able to reprint the stuff because it's in flux. Who owns it? Does Neil own it? Does Shithead McFarlane own it? Does somebody else, the Mick, whatever his name is, the guy who created the character, does he own it? Does Alan Moore own it? You know, who owns it? And the problem is that they haven't settled who owns it yet. And that's why we can't get reprints. And Marvel, of course, has given a bucket load of money to Neil Gaiman in order to get it settled so that they can be the people to reprint.
Of course.
To reprint the character who was originally called Marvel Man.
Right.
Before they switched it over to Miracle Man because Marvel was like, you can't have a character named Marvel Man, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah.
So the long and short of it is this has been going on for what?
Many years.
It's got to be a decade.
At least.
It's got to be as long as that one that you just talked about.
Oh, at least.
So anyway. Yeah, so that was it.
Green Arrow.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to summarize by saying that, you know, I agree with you that this could be a first step, but I was hoping for different news.
No, that's I wanted to talk about it because I think it is the first step to hopefully better things to come.
Bullshit.
Green Arrow, the CW, which I think we talked about maybe 2 weeks ago, is doing a Green Arrow show. They're filming a pilot.
Uh-huh.
And they've cast Green Arrow.
Oh, who is it?
Steven... Well, it's not Josh Holloway.
Thank God.
So that's who I said should be great. It's Stephen Amell, who you would know from Hung, actually. Do you watch Hung?
No.
The one with Thomas Jane?
No, why would I watch a TV series starring Thomas Jane?
Because I thought you were a fan of Thomas
Jane. I am not a fan of Thomas Jane.
Yeah, I thought you guys were BFFs.
We are no such a thing.
Yeah. Remember that time we ran into him at San Diego?
No, I don't. That wasn't San Diego. So that was New York. Both times, both stories that we have that regarding.
No, when I got when I got something signed for Pervert Ken.
Yeah,
that was in San Diego.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty positive
because I remember the two incidents that I remember were in New York when somebody we were with embarrassed us.
That was Raph,
or embarrassed Thomas Jane.
That was Raph. Yeah, it looks like
people say I look like your son or something. Whatever it was. Yeah. Oh, terrible.
Anyway.
So he's in Hung or something.
But he's been cast as Green Arrow.
Has he done anything else that we might reference?
Private Practice. He was on a couple episodes of 90210. Nothing major. Oh, nothing good. Major. Vampire Diaries. He was in a couple episodes of that.
Nope.
Heartland.
Nope.
Let's see. Dun, 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 nah. Beautiful People.
No. So some dude. So,
but you know what? He looks... Well, he's not blonde.
Well, right away.
So that's an issue.
Uh-huh.
But...
He will be.
But you know what? He looks like a young Oliver Queen.
Okay.
He does. I could see him as a young Oliver Queen. I certainly would not have picked him, but he looks all right.
I'm thinking Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch may have been a better choice.
And not really a surprise, but due to a casting list that was kind of passed around... Hollywood, I guess, over the past week, we've learned that Dinah Lance will be in the show as well, which is really not a surprise. You can't have Green Arrow without Black Canary. So,
well, maybe she won't be Black Canary.
I'm sure she'll be Black Canary.
You don't know.
No, you're right. I don't know for sure, but I'd be willing to say that in all likelihood, she will likely be Black.
Hey, comic news that pissed me off this week.
Hey, wait. We're not there yet. Oh, comic news. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is the news thing.
Yes.
Captain America and Bucky. I already predicted on this program, I'm sure, at some point, maybe before the great flood or the great tumult that we went through,
right,
that Captain America and Bucky would not survive as a book, and they have indeed made my dreams come true, not by canceling it, which would be a great dream, but by making it a team-up series.
Oh, lovely.
So now it's going to be Captain America and Hawkeye. And then after that, it will be Captain America and somebody else, and so on and so forth. It's Marvel team up with Captain America.
Yeah, it seems
stupid.
It seems kind of pointless to me.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
All right. I think that's it.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
No more news?
No, I think, well, you know, we don't have to have a 50-minute news segment every week.
Fine.
I'm just saying.
All right, OG, in that case, we will take our first break here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 237. Who watches DC?
What's up, everybody? It's Jay from the Masters of None podcast on Simply Syndicated and, of course, at mastersofnone.com. We've had some fine shows lately. Tell them what we've had, Art.
We've had some great celebrity interviews booked by yours truly with Danny Trejo and Jim Brewer.
Yes, of course, and we've also had the Poser's Guide to Canada as well as the wonderful Nerd Off Back to the Future versus Star Wars that someone happened to win. That would be myself.
And of course, lots of ego stroking and insults galore. We're the comedy podcast that doesn't suck. Check us out. We're the Masters of None.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London. And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 237. Who watches DC?
The answer, no one.
Kev, what did we talk?
No, you can't take my bit.
I can't
sir.
Take your bit?
No, sir.
Well, you haven't done it yet this week. You were supposed to do it right at the top of the show.
Nope. I'm back on track.
Oh, is it? It took four episodes, but you're back into the swing of things?
It took a little while, so what?
All right. Well, what we didn't do at the top of the show is make a couple of announcements about maybe where you can reach us. How about at the GVM line?
425-920-6050.
That's right. You can leave us a voicemail on the show, and perhaps you will hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Of course, you can check us out over at Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, and over at Twitter, @BKGeekStuff, and @GeekStuffOG is where I'm at. YouTube, our YouTube channel is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, so you can check us out over there. And
what else you got?
I think that's it.
What about the contest you didn't put the rules up for?
Well, you know, look, I've had some stuff go on in the past couple days.
I don't want to hear it.
We had a friend of the show who was moving because he wouldn't hire, you know, illegals from the Home Depot parking lot. So we needed to help him. And then, you know, I'm going through some stuff, you know, last couple of days. So, you know, it's like a never ending barrage of crazy.
It's always something with you.
In studio. What studio is this now? Satellite studio? Gonna have to move it and set it up again.
Studio D.
It's studio wheels because it seems to.
Mobile. Mobile studio.
Mobile studio because it never stays stationary.
Well, as we may have stressed in other weeks, and if you're brand new listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, thank you for listening. And what we're trying to do here is run a gigantic 3-stage contest
with
big, fabulous prizes for the winners. And it's the Tell a Friend contest.
And I should say, entries continuing to come in.
That's good.
On the Tell a Friend contest.
That's good. There are 3 stages of the Tell a Friend contest. Now, we're not going to go into all the stages and rules right now, but OG is going to put them up. In fact, by the time you hear this episode, they will already have been posted.
Fingers crossed.
And he will let you know how it is you can tell a friend and win a prize, giant prize for yourself, and maybe a prize for your friend also.
That's right.
Because if there's one thing we are loaded with, it's prizes.
Apparently.
We are dying to give them away. These are not little prizes. I mean, some people may think they are little prizes, but I'm going to throw out a few names. Sideshow Collectibles.
That's right.
Gentle Giant Studios. So if they do little prizes, well, then you're right. Then the prizes we have are little. I'm not going to mention some of the other ones that we have. But
no.
What I am saying is you definitely want to get on board this contest. And you want to tell a friend, tell several friends. You know, there is no limit on the entries. If you tell a new friend and follow the rules and so on and so forth, then you've told multiple people and multiple, you can get multiple entries.
That's right.
What we're trying to do is spread the word about this show. This show is good. This show is nice. This show is enjoyed by many. If it's enjoyed by you, tell a friend. Tell 2 friends. Because what we want to do is we want to build the listener base. We want to get people back on board. Some people may have gone away and are not aware that we're back on because of our hand of God hiatus.
Right.
And but we are back, and that is the thrust of this year. The thrust of the year. Build the audience base, tell a friend contest. Three really humongous prizes. Three other prizes we'll be giving out. There's so much going on, and you can be part of it just by telling a friend. So look for the rules at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. OG will prominently display them so
I will.
That you can figure out how you can be involved.
We also have our OMFG Kickstarter exclusive black figure contest going on. That's going on for another week or two.
It's got to be black.
Because that's the color of the figure, sir.
Oh.
And so don't forget to enter that contest over at the October Toys message boards. Of course, there's information on that posted in the message boards and over at the website with last week's episode
post. I guess if they did flesh-colored ones, like, you know, pinky ones, they have to do, like, black ones.
Right, exactly.
When are they going to do, like, brown and yellow?
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
Just saying. You got to represent everybody.
Uh-huh.
You can't pick and choose.
That's terrible what you're saying.
What?
What you're implying is awful.
I'm implying that there are additional color waves that could be done.
That's right.
That's it.
You're saying that maybe some of the color waves should be screened a little bit better at the airport, too, I bet.
I'm not saying any such thing.
Uh-huh.
Wow. It was overtly racist.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
DVDs this week.
Yes.
There are a few that we should mention. Drive out on DVD this week.
Now, why would we mention that?
I don't know, because it was a big release.
It was.
Right? Comedy. It's got nominated for a couple of Oscars. I think it might have won a couple Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah?
It's worth. Look, you know, we don't Who's just talk about the geeky movies.
Who's in that one?
I didn't watch it. I'm just saying it came out.
Some
no,
dude.
Ryan Gosling's in that one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Ryan Gosling, yes.
Transformers Dark of the Moon out this week.
Ugh.
On the DVD. The Thing, 2011.
Okay, so this is the prequel.
That's right.
To the 1980-something John Carpenter movie, The Thing, and I heard it was terrible.
I was actually going to say, I've heard mixed things on it. I've heard some people don't entirely hate it.
You know what I like about it? Means. The girl from Scott Pilgrim was the star.
Oh, okay.
What's her name? I can't remember her name. The one that Scott Pilgrim's in love with. He ends up with at the end.
Yeah. Ramona is her name in the movie. But
yes.
Elizabeth.
Something.
Yeah.
Well, she's the lead. So that's cool.
Okay.
She's cool.
Also out this week for you Trekkies, Star Trek, The Next Generation, Next Level. This is one of those like best of box sets from Next Generation.
Is it in Blu-ray?
It is a Blu-ray.
Okay.
Release.
So this is the prequel to them releasing
right.
them in Blu-ray.
That's right.
So they're testing the waters before they start releasing them in Blu-ray. Now, let me tell you why this pisses me off.
Why?
Because they still have not released complete collections of DS9 or Enterprise or, God help us, Voyager.
No, but if you... Where does Next Generation fall chronologically? Doesn't that come...
First.
Yeah, okay, so...
But they didn't release complete box set. They released a complete box set of Next Generation.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they did not release complete box sets of any of the other series, including the original series. There's no complete box of the first one.
Oh, no, there's three individuals.
And you should buy them on Blu-ray
right.
because they have the new effects in it.
The new effects, right.
Which I think is fucking brilliant. I don't know why on earth that wasn't huger news when it happened.
Because maybe they were downplaying it because of the backlash of new effects in a Star Wars
film. I don't know, man. I thought it was really great. Anyway, the point is that this is, they're feeling you out. They're feeling you out, Trekkie. So if you buy this, you're going to get a bunch of great episodes that look really good, and you may or may not get additional episodes. But I think based on the sales on this, they're going to judge how many or if at all that they should do like a complete Blu-ray or do, God help us, do Blu-ray by season. Just so stupid at this point.
Well, you know, got to do something.
Stupid.
One last thing I want to mention in DVDs this week, not really in our genre as far as the geek world is concerned, but an excellent film, To Kill a Mockingbird, 50th Anniversary Edition.
Oh, really?
Blu-ray. I mean, talk about fine films.
Yeah, that is a great movie.
It's like Gregory Peck's
yes.
finest role in film, I think.
Really? Because we talked about Moby Dick earlier and...
Nah.
He was pretty good in Moby Dick, sir.
I don't know. Mocking
pretty good Ahab.
I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm just saying Mockingbird, I think.
I agree. Mockingbird's a great movie.
So for you
I'm gonna buy that.
For you film people. That's definitely one you want to grab.
Yeah. Geek stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics.
That's right.
To talk about this week. I have only a pair of single issues that I want to bring to your attention.
Oh, lovely.
It's from our friends at DC. It's Batman Detective Comics number 6.
Oh, nice.
Tony Daniel doing the writing. Tony Daniel is not an artist. Is Tony Daniel? Wait a minute.
Are you confused?
Backwards? No, I'm right. It's written and penciled by Tony Salvador Daniel. And inks by Sando Florea. Well, in any case, Tony Daniel is a terrific writer and he's a terrific artist. And this book, Detective, now you're reading this one, OG.
I am, in fact, reading Detective.
So you will enjoy what's going on in Detective here this month in issue 6. It's really still early enough for you to jump on. I think the first trades might have been solicited for these books. So if you've missed a few, you want to hop on. Not only can you probably still get the issues, but if you're looking for a trade, I'm guessing you're going to get one fairly soon on the first batch of the new 52.
Right.
And then the second one is from Dynamite. It's the Lone Ranger number 2. Now, this is the ongoing Lone Ranger story. And this book is really, really good. It's written by friend of the show, Andy Parks.
Oh, nice.
And the art is by Esteve Pols.
Okay.
Esteve. And the cover, of course, by another friend of the program, Francesco Franciavilla.
Love the Francesco.
Yes. It's too bad he's not doing the interior art, is what I say. Look, I'm not saying the art in here is bad. It's actually really, really good. But I just love Francesco's art. I'd love to see him doing the inside of more books. Anyway, Dynamite. Lone Ranger number 2 of the ongoing, I believe it's going to be ongoing series.
And author out there, Green Arrow number 6 out this week.
That's it? Just Green Arrow number 6?
That's it.
You have any information? You don't have an opinion on it?
I like this.
Who's writing it?
I haven't.
Who's doing the art? You just want to throw it out there because you like Green Arrow.
And I've been reading the series.
I understand.
Okay.
So tell us, give us a little insight. What's going on?
No.
No?
No.
Artist? Writer? Nothing?
Nah,
just because I like Green Arrow, I got to blurt it out there.
And it came out this week.
Just saying.
It's been a good read.
You're not.
Some people are not pleased with the reboot of Oliver Queen. Think he's kind of whiny. Think he's kind of bratty. I think it's good for a young Oliver Queen as a reboot of the series.
Uh-huh.
Right? I'm okay with it.
That's lovely.
All right.
In trades, OG, pay attention.
Uh-huh.
American Vampire, Volume 3. Scott Snyder, Raphael Albuquerque.
Love his work.
Yeah, his art is really banging. So this is a book we have been talking about since its inception.
Okay.
A time-spanning vampire story unlike any other, and I think it's great. And this is a giant, thick trade of this, by the way.
I like that it's hardcover. It makes it fancy.
Hardcover is going to run you $24.99 unless you're Canadian. And terrific cover on it. I'm really happy that I'm able to read a Vertigo book that doesn't make me have to read the book and then think about it for a few days.
No,
I mean,
you can just you can just read it and enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
It's a good read and it's good art.
Yep.
And you know,
an excellent trade.
Absolutely.
This is a big giant book.
Now who's putting that out?
This is Flesk Publications, F-L-E-S-K.
Okay.
A company I'm not familiar with. This book's going to run you the big 5-0, sir.
Wowza.
Yeah, but that said, it is 300 pages.
Jesus.
Of big. The good girl art of Bruce Timm. It's called Naughty and Nice.
Ooh, naughty.
I saw way more naughty in this book. Then I saw nice. I'm just saying.
Boobs.
So this would definitely be a product for adults.
Right.
It's definitely.
Whoa, Bush.
What did it? Easy, sir. Easy.
Just saying. I saw boobs before. I didn't see Bush.
What it is Bruce Timm, of course, an incredible artist, did all your design work for the Batman animated series of the 90s, groundbreaking Batman animated series. And what you're getting here essentially is his. Tons and tons and tons, 300 pages of Bruce Timm girl artwork, or with the subject of girls. You will see characters that you're familiar with, but most of it is just sort of random girls.
Yeah, man. I, look, if you're a fan of Bruce Timm's art, and how could you not be a fan of Bruce Timm's art?
Right.
You know, it's a great collection. It's a great book. If you like art books in general, you know, it's definitely worth, I'd say it's worth the $50.
He definitely has a style that lends itself towards animation.
Yes, I would say that.
And clearly he proved that by
Batman.
But applying that art to the female form, I guess, and having it really, you know, be, what's the right word? I don't know. Like, tremendous, I guess.
Right, right.
But really work.
Am I correct in saying, did he, not create, but did he come up with the original design for Harley Quinn?
Yes.
Okay, he did.
He did.
Because right. She was originally only for the animated series. Yeah. She was introduced in the animated series.
Yeah, the character was created for the animated series by Paul Dini and Bruce Timm.
And Bruce Timm. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
They collaborated on all that stuff. All those characters. And really, Harley, I think, is the best example of a character that started elsewhere that they brought into the DC universe.
She seamlessly slid into regular DC continuity like she had always been there.
It's sexy.
And became,
it's sexy when you say it that way.
Hey-o. And really became an important character too. She's not, she was in a throwaway, you know what I mean? She's pretty much a pinnacle character now in the Batman verse. So
very true.
So kudos. And again, I'd say it's worth the 50 bones.
Absolutely. And
I think that's it in comics and in graphic
novels. You're right.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
Product. Well, yes. We actually have a terrific product to talk about this evening, and it's from our friends, the Four Horsemen. Well, really, we're friends with three of them, and, you know, then there's the other one. And see, I'm not separating them. I'm not saying who is the one I'm referring to as the other one.
You are referring to Corn Boy.
I love Corn Boy.
So do I.
As one man can love another man.
That's right.
In a completely non-sexual way.
Sexual way.
This is their latest venture, the Outer Spacemen.
Right. Now, they've been releasing these. This is the third or fourth set of Outer Spacemen.
Is it?
Yeah.
Then why have we not seen the other sets?
Well, we've physically seen them.
Oh. Well, why have we
we
not,
haven't discussed
them. Why did we not get them for review?
I don't know. What do you want me to tell you?
I'm just saying.
But so this is series 3 and 4 that we actually have on our hands.
Because it's two per series, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I don't know. What scale is this? It's not 3 3/4, right?
It's really?
It seems small to me.
Oh, yeah. It's probably a little bit smaller than 3 3/4. You grab one over there, sir. I'd say they're about, 3.5 inches tall. Well, you grabbed a Vader. I mean, that's,
I know.
That's hardly the right one for scale purposes.
So they're close to 3 3/4.
They could work at 3 3/4. They're really, of course, they're really fantastically sculpted. Of course, because it is the Four Horsemen, and quite frankly, you're not getting better sculpting than the Four Horsemen right now. You're just not. I mean, at least if it is happening, I don't know where it's happening as far as action figures go.
Now, these are unique because they're not really unique to the Four Horsemen. They're based on figures that or characters that were like in the 60s or the mid to late 60s.
Okay.
Like, for example, Mistron, right? Mistron, the man from Hollow Earth, unreleased Mistron production sample from 1969. Right. It's like on the card art in the back.
Uh-huh.
And for Alpha 7, the man from Mars, original carded Alpha 7 figure from 1968.
Yeah, they've redone the figure.
They've scooped the license to an awesome. They're kind of generic, and you know, I don't, they were, do you know, were they based on something other
I don't,
than
I'm not sure.
So Outer Spacemen fans out there, and I know there are some of you that listen to the show that are,
you know, we have a GVM line, you can call in and give us all that information,
school us a little bit,
yeah,
but
or we could get Cornhole on the show,
we could, you know,
just saying, what's he live, like 4 minutes from us,
maybe 5.
I'm just saying, it's not far.
But awesome sculpting, great quality.
Yeah,
you
got some interchangeable parts and weapons, interchangeable limbs.
Now, I could be mistaken on this.
Okay.
But I believe that these figures are compatible. Ooh. twist tie.
What's wrong with a twist tie?
I hate twist ties. I believe these figures are compatible with the Glio system.
Why are you taking mine out?
I'm not taking yours out.
That's the one I want.
That's the one I want.
I want that one.
No.
But I want to give away the rest of them and keep that one.
No.
Well, the point is that each one of them is unique. Let's talk. You just talked about the little one. He looks like a little, like, typical space alien kind of guy. I'm holding Commander Comet, the man from Venus. He's got wings. He's got a pink bubble helmet. Looks like, you know, sort of a space suit. And he's got sort of what looks like a crossbow type weapon. They do have on this one as well. They have the original, a picture of the original one on the back, which is really great. Really great that they're using the picture. This is original carded Commander Comet figure from 1968. Wow, these are older than you, OG. Just saying.
I think, and I could be wrong on this, but I think these things are
compatible
with the Glio system.
Huh.
Like, for example,
you have any Glios laying around in here?
I do have, I have several, actually, that I can grab. Hold on one sec.
Well, I'm going to go on to describe Electron, the man from Pluto. I think that's just Electron. Oh, it's Electron Plus, Electron Positive, the man from Pluto. And he is sort of a... what is he? Kind of looks like he's got bolts in his head. He's got a blue bubble helmet, which is very cool. He's got a space suit, giant orange sort of jewel thing in the front. He comes with a very 60s looking hand blaster, which I think is awesome. A staff with some electrical effect coming out of the top of it, which is great. A couple of other arms, interchangeable arms and stuff. And on the back, again, original carded Electron figure from 1968. I mean, these are really great. It almost is inspiring to go out and buy the originals because you have the because you're able to get these ones as well. Wow, these are really great. I really like these a lot more than I thought I would. So, and that I'm sure that has to do with Cornboy.
Perhaps I shouldn't have grabbed the smallest figure out of the lot.
Okay.
But they are.
They are compatible with Glios.
Yes.
Glios system, as we've talked about in the past, is an interchangeable figure system where you can get parts and build things. These are in the same scale as those two, aren't they?
I believe so, yeah.
Hmm. I have Mistron, the man from Hollow Earth, as OG said earlier. Fully articulated space figure, complete with weapon. Well, he has a couple of weapons. It looks like he has a staff with bat wings at the top. Looks like he has some bat wings that go on him in the package there. And it looks like some sort of dragon-looking weapon gun thing. Some interchangeable arms as well. Orange bubble helmet. OG said if you took this head... and put it on the body of Commander Comet, you'd kind of have Brian Blessed from the Flash Gordon movie. I thought that was really funny earlier when you said that, OG. Yeah, these are really cool, man. I'm really digging these a lot.
You know, these are great for someone who isn't into mainstream figures.
Right.
Okay. And who doesn't quite get the, like, designer toy scene either.
Right
because it's not that either,
right?
It's really just kind of nostalgic sci-fi.
It's the Four Horsemen taking something that they clearly liked as kids,
obviously,
or as young adults in the case of Cornboy,
right?
And when they came out in the late 60s, and when Cornboy was, you know, a hippie and doing whatever Cornboy was doing, and
was he Colonel then?
Colonel?
Yeah.
Colonel Boy? I get it. It's terrible. I'm going to rail you for that joke.
I deserve it.
The point is that this is something they like as kids, and now they've gotten it. They've gotten the license.
Right.
They're able to... What they've done is they're essentially they've redone the figures in a more modern way. Because I think the originals were bendies, weren't they? Weren't they like rubbery, bendy figures? I believe they were. They had some accessories, but I think in the end that they were just kind of awkward, weird, bendy figures. Does it say on here? No, it says from Olympus. Aha! Wait, there's text, sir. It's tiny, but I'm gonna read a little bit of it.
All
okay,
right, go for it.
It was 19. This is gonna answer all of your questions. By
yes,
the way.
I see it.
It was 1968 that It was in 1968 that the outer spacemen first landed on Earth, where they enjoyed a legendary stay on toy shelves across the globe. When their extraordinary visit was over, they turned their sights back to the stars to live on in people's hearts and minds. Now, 42 years later, the outer spacemen have returned to reveal themselves to a brand new generation of fans and to reignite the imaginations of those who witnessed their first landing. Four Horsemen Studios is proud to bring you this brand new line of outer spaceman action figures. Each figure is authentically styled and fully accessorized with character-specific detailing. We have worked closely with series creator Mel Burncrant to ensure that each character is accurately depicted and true to the spirit of the original figures. Figures are also completely interchangeable, utilizing O'Neill Design's innovative Glios system.
Right.
Not only are the figures fully compatible with each other, but they also fit seamlessly into the entire Glios universe. So act fast. Catch a glimpse of the outer spacemen before these otherworldly ambassadors return to the stars.
Oh, there you go. Again, fantastic figures. Great for, I'm going to say, for regular toy collectors, guys who don't think they're toy collectors, but really are, sci-fi fans.
Uh-huh.
You know, again, accessories, multiple points of articulation. Another thing I want to point out that we've talked about in
really
the past,
retro stuff too. If you like retro space stuff,
right?
Guys with bell bubble helmets and those sorts of things, which I really dig. These are really going to appeal to you as
And I don't know if I missed it while I was getting the Glios piece, but did you talk about the packaging, the resealable packaging?
No, I did not.
This is that that Four Horsemen, you could slide the card out
right.
and slide the card back in.
Right.
Really, the only part about this that's not resealable is the obnoxious twist tie.
OG, do you have a problem with twist ties?
I hate twist ties.
I've seen you tear a bag of bread open once, and I'm wondering if that had to do with the twist tie.
But look, this is what I don't understand. And this is, look, this is no disrespect to the Four Horsemen.
No, of course not. I'm sure Cornboy won't take offense to this. He's an even-handed guy.
The figure...
Not.
The figure sits in the little blistery mm-hmm. bubble.
Uh-huh.
He don't come out.
Uh-huh.
He's not falling out.
Okay.
What do you need a twist tie for?
But with a package, sir, that's open
uh-huh.
and not sealed...
Uh-huh.
You may want to prevent people from sliding the card out, sliding the figure out, and sliding the card back in and walking out of the store.
Twist ties are going to do that?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, sir.
I don't think so.
I think it's a deterrent.
Listen, I've been in plenty of Walmarts before where I've seen a Captain America and Bucky Two-Pack, where it's Captain America and Mr. Incredible, because someone pulled Bucky out and stuck Mr. Incredible in. Yeah. And those have twist ties and cardboard.
Okay, that's different. They bought that one. They walked out. They took the figure they wanted and replaced it with another figure. That's one thing. I'm talking about straight up just sliding the figure out.
All right.
How about this? The store.
How about that? A large market for these figures is an online retail market. You don't find these in normal stores. You don't walk into FYE and find these, or Walmart and find
these. Good. You brought up a good point. Where can the audience find these? Let's put an end to your twist tie rant.
You can check them out over at storehorseman.com. That's where they have them online.
Store, of course, S-T-O-R-E Horseman.
That's
right?
Correct. Of course, I think they're probably sold out or close to sold out. I know I've seen them at Toy Tokyo before as well. And I'm sure there are other online retailers that have them, but I would check out storehorseman.com first.
Okay.
To get these. And of course, you should sign up for the Four Horsemen mailing list so that when the next set is released, you'll get a little bit of advance notice.
I didn't get the first set.
You're probably not on the mailing list.
You think that's why I didn't get it?
That's probably.
We didn't get set one or two.
No, we did not.
We would have talked about them.
When did
they release them?
One, well, let's put it this way. One, the Alpha Phase, which I think was part of Series 1, was a San Diego exclusive 2 years ago.
Oh.
And at the Toypocalypse show last year, they released Beta Phase, maybe?
Right.
They were on sale that night while we were at Toy Tokyo. And I think since then, they've released Series 1 and 2. So
there's a bunch out there.
Yeah, and there have been con exclusives. I think there was even a New York Comic Con exclusive.
Wow.
Either this year or last year. So,
what?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm a little hurt now.
Well, you know, you hurt easily.
I'm just saying. I really like these. I think I would like to have them.
All right.
For myself.
That being said.
Yes. Let's take our final break. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. episode 237, Who Watches DC?
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Stay from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 237, Who Watches DC?
Yes, sir.
Don't forget, of course, you can check out our awesome sponsors during the first break tonight. You heard the advertisement or the ad for Masters of None podcast. And of course, you've heard us talk about them every week for the past couple weeks. And even before the break, we were talking about these guys. Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles, where you get... now, what's the offer here? Free glass of wine?
It's a free glass of wine and a back massage. No.
Oh, my.
No, you get $10 off a purchase of $50 or more.
$10 a purchase of $50 is some percent.
20%.
20%!
Yay!
That is a really good deal. Look, we've said it before, and we're going to say it again. You're going to buy something. You're going to buy a bunch of things. They're going to be like maybe totaling around $50. Go over to Superpower Collectibles. You're going to save $10. That's your shipping.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you're really going to score over at Superpower Collectibles. You're going to save that money, and you're going to use the code BIGKEV checkout in order to get your $10 off. And they have quite a variety of stuff over there.
I've noticed, too, that he's carrying comic books now.
Is that right?
By the by. So you could order books over there.
Nice.
Some great toys. Star Wars Commander Cody. 1/10 scale statue. $89.99 over at Superpower Collectibles.
1/10. Is that the new one from...
is that Coda 1/10?
No.
Maybe it's hot. I'll tell
you. No, I think it's the French company. They just put out a whole series of them in that scale.
Firing Like Hell, 1/10 scale statue.
That's weird.
Oh, is it a Takis?
Yeah, it's a Takis.
Oh,
they
okay.
just put out a whole bunch in that scale. And
look at this. Elite Coruscant Clone Trooper.
Yes, sir.
Star Wars Commander, Fire After the Battle.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. They're now, I believe what Takis has done is they've kind of latched on to that scale that Kodo switched to.
Right.
For the troopers and so on and so forth, the stuff that Kodo put out recently, the two packs of Build-A-Troopers and all those. I think Atakis kind of was like, yeah, we'll do that too.
So again, check out superpowercollectibles.com for all of your collectibles and now comic book needs.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Tonight we talked all about DC's bastardization of the Watchmen prequel and the plethora of books that are coming out. In regards to that?
Yeah, this is a real shame and a real slap in the face to Alan Moore by Paul Levitz. I'm leaving Jim Lee out of this because I have not had a chance to converse with Jim Lee on this topic. I know pretty much how Paul Levitz feels about Alan Moore and so on and so forth. This started, I mean, I know we've talked this to death, but you know when this started?
What?
Action figures.
Oh,
they wanted to do action figures for the Watchmen, whatever the anniversary was. And he was like, go F yourself. And he's like, no, go F yourself. We're not going to do anything and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's just a pissing match.
Of course, speaking of pissing matches, Neil Gaiman finally won against Todd McFarlane in the Spawn Angela Cagliostro lawsuit. Hopefully this means maybe one day the Miracle Man lawsuit will be settled.
I doubt it. I don't think we'll ever see that. And also, we talked about Dynamite Entertainment bringing back The Shadow.
That's right.
Written by Garth Ennis, which means you're just going to have to read it. Based on that alone, you're going to have to read it. Of course, Aaron Campbell going to do the inside art. Covers by everybody.
Right.
I'm sure by the time that it's over, everyone will have done a cover for this book, including what's his name? Joe Quesada.
Oh.
See, I don't even consider him like, you know, I have to give him a second thought. Yeah.
All right.
And then we also talked about one little tiny bit of disappointing comic news or expected that the Captain America Bucky book, which retains the original numbering of Captain America, is now sort of a Marvel Cap team up. You know, Cap teams up with a person X for X number of issue story arc, and that's what it became.
Blech.
Shame. It's a real shame. They should cancel that other cap book and just make this one cap again and get the numbering back on straight.
And rounding up the news tonight, we talked about the casting of Stephen Amell as Green Arrow in that upcoming Green Arrow pilot. So we'll see if that actually gets off the ground or if it finds the same fate as Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's more likely we're going to see this one than we'll see Wonder Woman.
In DVD news tonight, we talked about a couple of discs that came out. Mockingbird 50th Anniversary
yes,
Edition.
Yes, Kill a Mockingbird, the great Peck, Gregory Peck.
Transformers Dark of the Moon out this week. Also, Drive out this week. And yeah, I think that was it.
Okay. In comics, we talked about a pair of individual issues to check out. The Lone Ranger ongoing number 2
right.
from Dynamite Entertainment and DC Comics New 52 Detective number 6. We told you that the American Vampire Volume 3 trade is now out. And you know what I just thought?
What?
I just thought that I think my friend Michelle at work would really like this book.
Okay.
Now I have to find Volume 1. You have Volume 1?
I don't. I don't have the trades because I have the individual issues.
Oh, really?
I'll you get actually, the trades at some point.
You actually bought the individual issues?
I did
issues
buy the individual issues for this one.
Did you know they were available in port?
Yeah, no, I
anyway,
don't
know.
Anyway,
so.
That's terrible. See, thieves. Thieves!
Yes, thieves. Yes, you're not one of them.
No, come on.
This is Volume 3 American Vampire hardcover, going to run you $24.99. And lastly, the Good Girl Art of Bruce Timm, Naughty and Nice, a big, giant pinup book, $50 and worth every penny for 300 pages of drawings of women by Bruce Timm in various states of dress and undress and so forth. It was really, really, really spectacular.
Of course, in our product review segment tonight, we talked about the Outer Spacemen by the Four Horsemen Series 3 and 4, four figures in total. Of course, you can go over to storehorseman.com to check these out.
Yep.
But great nostalgic retro sci-fi goodness.
I'm texting Cornboy right now.
Are you gonna?
As we speak.
All right. Yeah, these are great figures. They feature multiple points of articulation, great sculpts, great paint job, I should say, on them as well. Completely compatible with the O'Neill Glio system if you're into that. The great resealable packaging, with the exception
right.
of the twist ties.
You know, we should get the O'Neill Glios guy on the
Matt?
Show.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
We should do that because I really dig those a lot, and I think we've pecked at it a couple of times.
Yeah, we talked
over the
about
last
them.
Couple of years.
I think we talked about them. How about this? We talked about O'Neill on this show
uh-huh.
when Mr. Fantastic was still a producer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way back then.
I think we may have been in single or double digits.
Wow, that far back?
I think so.
That's going
that
back.
That was a ways years. Years. Yeah, at least double digits for
wow.
sure.
Well, in any event, yeah, we should definitely do that because it's really neat. And if these are compatible with those, man, that's going to make those Glios things even better.
Series 3 features Commander Comet and Mistron, and Series 4 is Electron and Alpha 7. So definitely check these out. Again, fourhorsemen.com, storehorsemen.com on how to get these things. And, you know, you guys should be supporting this kind of toy movement because this is really a great example of putting out a product from your childhood or just in general that is unique and fun and doesn't have to be tied to a billion-dollar movie franchise or an ongoing comic book series. It's just good, fun toys, you know? It's just good toys. So definitely check these out. And I think that was it. So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes. Some of our YouTube videos are up there as well. Of course, my blog is up there. Big Kev's blog is up there. Eventually, he'll start working on that.
Sorry, I'm just in the middle of texting.
No, that's fine. You can give us a call over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And leave us a voicemail that you may hear on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Yeah, and you can ask us questions.
Sure.
You can make comments about things
right.
that we've talked about. And we want to share your thoughts with everybody. You know, we want to hear them, of course, and we want to share them with everybody. So, yeah, do make sure and do that.
Find us at Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Over at YouTube, same thing. At BK Geek Stuff on Twitter. I'm over there as well, over at Geek Stuff OG. And I think that's about it.
I think you're probably right. One last thing, OG will be putting up the Tell a Friend
oh, right.
contest rules. They're probably up right now if you go over to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Fingers crossed.
Hope they're up. And yeah, and then other than that, OG, I will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, as we end all episodes of the show, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar.